with Mo. My name's Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLand.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man who loves to stand up for free speech, Mr. Richard Avery.
Can I sit for free speech?
You can
I'd rather sit.
You can sit for free speech.
Because I'd rather sit. And if I possible, if you could say, Chris, you could lie down, I would lie down.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would lie down for free speech.
No lying down. You got to sit.
I'm all for free speech, though.
You are?
Yeah. I'm for. But I've always said I'd rather it be free. There's a word missing there. And it should be free intelligent speech.
Oh.
They always forget that word, intelligent.
So one of the two things that we don't talk about on this show is politics.
Yes.
But the kind of politics we're going to be talking about today is just fine because they're porn politics.
Yes.
So we have no problems with this. About 110, 115 episodes ago, Diane Duke, the executive director of the Free Speech Coalition, came on. And this is about 2 years ago.
She was amazing.
She was great. And we talked for about an hour. And I recently re-listened to this episode, and I realized some of the things that I'm going to be talking about today are the exact same.
Nothing has changed.
Things have not changed. And this has no fault of her whatsoever. It's just that the battles continue, and it just life has moved on.
I would say it's all your fault.
So I agree. I was very new on the board, and that was the episode that I found out that I don't get paid to be on the board of directors of the Free Speech Coalition. So now I'm deeply saddened. After 2.5 years, I still don't make money. But today I brought in the new Diane has moved on. Diane has after being, as I put it, a punching bag for, I believe, 8 years, 9 years, and being a target for AIDS Healthcare Foundation, and she was a trooper, and she really fought for us. She moved on with life, moved on to another career. So today I brought in the new executive director of the Free Speech Coalition, Eric Paul Loya.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. So this is the second episode. If you're here and you haven't heard the first episode, which was a get to know you episode, I really recommend you go back and listen to it so you can get to know Eric's personality and not just listen to the boring politics stuff. That's actually very exciting and very interesting and that we need to know. This episode is very much for industry members, producers, talent, fans of the industry. I'd love for you to listen to this as well. So you can get to know what some of us are tweeting about and what you see on in different areas of social media when we're talking about specifically, most likely, condoms and porn. You'll see these things. And when we talk about AIDS Healthcare Foundation. So this is an episode that's going to be about a lot of these different topics and what the Free Speech Coalition actually does. So
first question, what's your favorite color?
Orange, purple, and chartreuse.
What? There we go.
I wanted to get past all that serious stuff.
Okay, so Eric, why don't you briefly introduce yourself and what your position is at the Free Speech Coalition?
My name is Eric Paul Loya. I'm the new executive director at the Free Speech Coalition, which means that I lead our team of three and listen to all of our board members very intently. By the way, no board member makes money for a nonprofit. You're not the only one. Like in no nonprofit, you can't pay board members because then they're partial. So Diane and I, we worked alongside for about 2 years while I was at Kink. So I know Diane very closely through work, and I strongly believe in the fights that we fight, which branch much further than condoms and porn, as an easy option that's always perceived. But I mean, you know, we're talking about 510K regulation for loop manufacturers. We're talking about counterfeit products for toy producers. We're talking about piracy. We're talking about user privacy, so that the country can't, you know, just steal our user data, et cetera, et cetera. So the Free Speech Coalition serves a really unique purpose as the National Trade Association and actually the only trade association of its kind internationally. So it's an incredibly interesting time. And I think that 2016, as I just spoke at the Phoenix Forum about, is really a make or break of the adult industry. And while it may look like the fights haven't been successful, I think we all need to pat ourselves on the shoulder and on the back, because the industry as a whole has been fighting an incredibly successful fight. And I think that's always what we need to remember. So we may still be under attack for similar sounding issues, but the way that we're under attack has changed dramatically because we've been continuously underestimated. And I think everybody underestimates how much smarts there are in this industry.
Now, there, and I want to keep this as easy to understand, because these things and the when it comes into the Kalosha matters, when it Measure B, the possible state ballot initiative, these things can get very, very... what's the word? Convoluted, I guess. I mean,
they're great bedtime reading because you'll definitely go to bed.
Exactly. So I want to keep it nice, easy, simple, easy to understand.
Of course.
Talking points.
Talking points.
Great.
So talking about the battle with AIDS Healthcare Foundation, we have what seems to be the constant battle known as the condoms and porn. And this has just been going on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And you hear about our victories and you hear about these things, but then the battle just keeps going on. And many mm-hmm. people think, oh, well, isn't that over now? But honestly, we have been fighting a number of battles mm-hmm. over the past 5 years, 6 years, starting with there was a Kalosha. Then there's there
five
was
battles.
Then there was Measure B. Mm-hmm. And Measure B just finally ended in a court, you know, in a court settlement.
Yep.
4 years, what, 4 years later now?
4 years later. Well, 2012. It was voted in by a really small margin like postal votes mm-hmm. In 2012, yes.
Then we had three separate
bills.
Bills that were brought AB in by Isidore Hall.
AB 332, AB 640, and AB 1576, which we very all good. Stopped and broke down.
Yes. And now we're back to Kalosha.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a small victory, which I think was really good and very energizing for the industry. And we had a great turnout in Oakland. Now AIDS Healthcare Foundation has resubmitted a new, I can't recall off the top of my head what we're calling this that they resubmitted.
Oh, the petition for OSHA. Well,
thank you.
And they didn't need to, because the board had already unanimously voted after over 100 industry professionals showed up and said, you can't do this to us. You're going to destroy our lives, literally and figuratively. And the board had already unanimously voted that the process would be restarted, mm-hmm. but this time with actual valuable industry input. And I think that that was a major success that nobody expected.
So now we have the state ballot initiative, which is in all, basically, we're pretty sure is going to happen in November.
It's on the ballot. It's definitely, I mean, unless AIDS Healthcare Foundation, and let's not kid ourselves, Michael Weinstein is not somebody that backs down from an ego trip. It'll be on the ballot, and there will be votes casted for or against, and the time to fight is now.
So let's go through and just briefly break down, because these are not all the same
nope.
thing. So we have Kalosha, we have the whatever Measure B is left of Measure B, and we have the state ballot. Mm-hmm. So those are the major three. What are the differences in those?
So Measure B is local to LA County. It imposes workplace safety rules, but not regulations. So we always have to look at regulation versus legislation. Legislation are laws that go into the law book. Regulations is, and so with laws, the police can go out and actively pursue you to try and find out if you're following those. With regulation, somebody needs to actually put a complaint against you, and then the regulator or the investigators basically go out and have a look. Kalosha and the state ballot initiative work on the California level, so they work on the state level. And there's also a few implications when we look beyond the California state border, because those things will actually swap, like they will just sweep through the United States relatively quickly. And that's really the tremendous danger that we're facing. And Measure B, as said, was a local initiative. It was sort of the first trial shot that AHF did. And let's not kid ourselves. In a country where most people don't really understand what sex or sexual health is, the message of, oh, this is about safer sex and people should have condoms, to most people that vote sounds like, oh yeah, that sounds like a no-brainer idea. And and that's really what we're up against. We're up against a common terminology that is being applied to an idea that is much grander behind it, because what we're really facing is medical privacy issues, personal privacy issues. We're facing reproductive rights issues. We're facing discrimination issues when it comes to HIV, which goes against the American Disability Act. And I can rattle on with this, but the reality of it is if you want to understand it, is this is the final hour of this battle. We've defeated Kalosha, or rather we've defeated the division that wrote this horrendous regulation. that would have destroyed our self-imposed testing protocols that have successfully kept the industry healthy for over a decade. So we've had this huge success here. And now what we need to understand is that if this state ballot initiative goes through, we're screwed. That's it. No more industry in California. But this is the last time that this battle will be fought. And so what we need to do now is, it doesn't matter how tired you are of this, this is the time that you pick up arms and you say, I have fought for 10 years to keep my industry and to keep my folks. I am going to fight this last battle, and we're going to be successful. And in the turn and in the wake of it, we will change minds and hearts. And that's what's going to protect us in the future.
Wow, that was very well stated.
You're welcome.
I've been dealing with this a little over 5 years, I believe.
And how come you don't sound like that? Then?
Because I am not well spoken. I do well on Twitter. That's what I do well in 140 characters. I did very well at making commentary during the Measure B, and being one of the few people that was actually putting out tweets about what was going on, because so few people knew, and a lot of people came to me. And how I got involved with the Free Speech Coalition is that a Christian man who passed on, I believe it's been 2 years now.
Great man.
He came on and he actually encouraged me to get more involved with FSC. And then I went to him and asked about if I should run for the board. He encouraged me. And he was actually my mentor for the following months before he passed. And so that's how I got involved. And once I got on the board of directors, I toned back, you know, the things that I got away with saying and the things that stalking the Measure B semi truck through the city and taking pictures and doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. I didn't.
But really that's feel but that's the stuff. That's the stuff where you win.
Yeah,
that's guerrilla tactics. And that's really what we need to understand, is that our industry, if we want to look at it, we're probably about, let's say, 3,000, 4,000 people in the state of California, there's going to be 34 million adults voting. So it's not enough that you go and say no, but you have to take 34 million divided by 4,000. That's how many people you as a single person have to go and tell, don't do this for all these reasons. And that's so important that we can't underestimate how powerful a voice is.
Mr. Avery, you have a question?
I got some basic dumb questions, because I'm the guy on the outside that knows nothing. So I'm going to ask you the dumb questions. The AIDS, what is it? The AIDS Foundation?
AIDS Healthcare Foundation.
Okay. Why, to this day, I still understand what this guy's issue is, and why this guy, like, if it wasn't for him, would anybody be talking about this stuff? What is this guy's problem?
Well,
I don't understand that. Like, why this guy, doesn't he have something better to do?
So my grandmother always said, don't assume, right? And since he refuses to talk to us, has never actually been in a meeting with the industry or, you know, anything to that level.
Doesn't even know anybody.
No. So, but what I see is, I see a man that lived through the horrible beginning of the HIV epidemic and the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that passed. And what we have now is somebody that is stuck on that train. And also we have somebody that created what, you know, among HIV activists is called AIDS Inc. Because he's created a revenue model out of HIV. So they make $1.2 billion a year. They have pharmacies where they sell drugs to people living with HIV. So, you know, I mean, what good would it be if nobody has HIV? So, and we all know that condoms are not as reliable as our testing protocols.
And as we always go through in the industry, I always encourage people out in their personal life. And I always said it in my personal life, when I was out dating, before I had my girlfriend for now 3 years, you know, I use condoms in my personal life. These are people that I'm not going through and checking their test. When I was active in the talent pool, I would get tested, and I was hanging out, if you will, with people in the talent pool where I knew I was tested. But we still used condoms because that was our personal life sex. That's not what happens on set. Trust me, I'm not that good. I don't last the 2 hours also, that you see on set.
And also what you don't want to forget is that I always find that the most impressive story is that performers say, oh, I don't actually want to go and have sex with somebody on the outside because I don't want to, I don't trust them. They don't get tested every 2 weeks, but I do. And I think that that's such a powerful message that that'll really change the way that we have this conversation. And I've always obviously been involved with that for over 2 years already.
Now, again, the FSC does many things for many different areas of the industry, and we don't have a lot of time to be able to talk about everything. And I know the listeners that are going to be listening to my podcast are going to be more from the production and the talent pool. So trust me, we are very active in other areas. If it happens to be somebody from the Pleasure Products, we are definitely involved in these things. We have board members that are Pleasure Products. We have other areas that we definitely work
with. Payment processors, distributors, wholesalers, hosting services, exactly. You know, all of that.
And how I present myself when I went to the board is my voice that I was going to bring to the board of directors was a voice from the common person that's on set. I'm actually boots on the ground on the set, sees what happens. I'm the one that gets contacted on, you know, on set when there's questions about when we do have moratoriums. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who gets DMs on Twitter. I get text messages about what's going on. So that's the area that, and that's why I want to focus a little bit more on that. So one thing, you know, obviously this is a big fight and we need help. So the question that I asked Diane 2 years ago was, why should a talent or a producer not – I'm not talking about Wicked. I'm not talking about, you know, and I'm just throwing out large company, Adam and Eve. Any of the, I'm not talking about those big companies. What I'm talking about is the small mom and pop production companies. Why should they care? The clips for sale people, the micro producers, why should they care and why should they join?
The reality is, specifically to the State Ballot Initiative and to Kalosha, anybody that makes any sort of financial benefit of content, whether it is still photography, videos, GIFs, or anything else that shows adult sexual contact without a physical barrier between the two body parts, whatever that may be, touching, is liable.
But here's my question from day one, which I can't understand how they can raise. To me, this is a, what do you call it? A rights issue, human rights issue, because it's like, if I'm married to my wife, and we're married, and we're going to shoot content because we're married. We can do whatever we
want. And that's where the conversation gets really complicated.
So I'm always like, you're going to force me to wear a condom and abide by all these. It's my wife.
Yeah. And
how do you enforce that?
And that's it's a very good question. And that's literally what OSHA was tackling, too.
And
they were really concerned. They didn't quite understand it. And that's the other problem that I think we face as an industry. And that's something that I'm going to fight and that I'm very out to fight, is that a lot of people don't actually understand what the industry actually does. Mm. They have a perception of what we probably are doing. And that's generally that we have greasy comb over hair, diamond necklaces, and we drag women into a basement and abuse them. And then we throw them away. And that's really not the reality. No. This industry is an incredibly creative, powerful hub. And the reason why to support FSC and why to be caring about these issues is if you believe in what you do and if you believe in the liberties that you have as an artist, as a producer, as an entrepreneur, as a performer, as an whatever you want to call it, then this is the time to fight. And we can only do this together.
Right.
FSC is always perceived as, oh, they'll take care of it. I can tell you that we've been fighting the 2257 H verification stuff where there is problems for each of you for so many years that we, you know, there's $300,000 of legal bills still being paid off. Yeah. And that's the reality. These battles don't come cheap.
Right.
And if you can't give a dollar, lend a hand.
Yeah.
And that's really, it's one for all and all for one at this point.
Yeah. It blows my mind. And I remember when we had Diane here, I was asking her those questions about, like, it just seems like the approach, some of the arguments aren't really, to me, are
they're made nonsensical, but that's because you understand the arguments much better than the person on the outside world. Think about it. You have to do your taxes. You have to go to your 40 hours a week job. You have to look after the house, the family. You have to do this, that. Then you probably want to sleep, do something else. And now as a voter, you're asked to completely understand an industry you have nothing to do with.
Right.
All that you know is you go on your phone, you log into your app, you get off while you're in the bathroom at work, and then you can go back to your life. So why the fuck would you care?
Yeah, but then that's where that guy comes in. The leader guy, that he's like, he doesn't even, it's like he's trying to do all these things against something he doesn't even fully understand.
Well, and he might understand it, but the reality is that with the State Ballot Initiative, he's building a revenue model, because whoever launches a lawsuit against the adults involved in barrier-free contact, so to speak,
right,
whoever that person is that launches that lawsuit gets 25% of the takings. It's a financial revenue model. And that's such a huge issue where, you know, there's so much nonsense in this.
Yeah.
And the reality is two consenting adults are doing something that is perfectly legal, and you're trying to criminalize, you're trying to make it illegal, you're trying to return to a puritanical worldview that's just not realistic.
Yeah. And that's what, it just annoys me. It's like, I don't know.
No, and it's not how it works in public health either.
Yeah.
No, I want to go back to what was brought up during the Kalosha meeting. And one of the people was Alex Chance,
mm-hmm.
who went up, and she said about working with her partner.
Yeah.
And she didn't name who her partner was. She just went up and said, I work with my partner. We do cam shows, or we do content, you know, customs, things like that, where, you know, there's obviously a profit being made. So they sat there and did their thing. There was a couple other people that were in relationships. I came up about 75 people after Alex, and I said, earlier today, 2 hours ago, you guys heard from her. Well, I am her partner, and we do this. And I said, not only is it that we're making money off of this, is that I'm making money off of it from her. She paid me with her company check. So technically now I am an employee of her because I'm making money from her. So this is us in a relationship in our own home. Are we governed by you now because of this? And that was one of the things that they started questioning. They were like, oh, wait, this happens?
Yeah,
this happens. And so that's why I go back to is we have major companies that are backing mm-hmm. us and that are helping us. We're not talking lots of money here. We're just saying we have some big companies that are helpful. But every single person that's out there, every girl that has a website, every person.
And it doesn't matter if you're just in California. Yeah. It's wherever you are in the world. If a person in the state of California can access your content, you're liable.
Wow.
It's nuts. And so we need people to understand that this does affect you.
Yeah.
So I go now with jumping from that is, one thing that we do is we have the PASS system,
mm-hmm.
which is if you like to go ahead and briefly discuss what
so the PASS system is the self-regulated testing protocol. It stands for Performer Availability Screening Services or Scheduling Services. I always mix the two up and then I feel really blonde about it.
Just so you know, Diane couldn't remember what it was either,
and she wasn't blonde.
Well,
so that was okay.
And before that, it was what was it? APHSS. Yeah. And I was like, wow, what a really hard acronym. It's like a so we do have the PASS system, and there's also a subsidy fund which basically alleviates some of the financial strain to performers that are not reimbursed through higher rates when they contract with a company. And what we do is we do bi-weekly HIV RNA testing, which has the largest or the best rate of basically discovering an HIV infection very, very early on, which basically means that should anybody be found with HIV, which has not been the case on through an onset transmission linked to PASS in over 10 years. Should anybody be found, they can be immediately linked to care. They're being taken care of. And then basically that, you can live with HIV your entire life without complications nowadays, because the HIV can be suppressed so deeply that it's basically, yes, it's present in your body, but it's not going to go anywhere, even during a bare vaccine. If they're properly treated. And that's shocking to many people to hear too. On top of that, we test for syphilis through a TREPSURE test, which is also the best in its class. We test for gonorrhea, chlamydia, trichomoniasis. We test for hepatitis B antigen, which develops first before an antibody is developed. There's, when the planet was created, there was that sauce flying around in space, and then it turned into a planet. So the antigen is basically the birth sauce of the antibody. Just think about sauce. It's sort of dinner time, so I do apologize. And then there is, we also test for hepatitis C antibodies, just to be on the sure side.
That's amazing.
So compared
which
to...
Which is, when I was speaking to public health experts in New York, they said, whoa, that's an epidemiologist's wet dream. Like, if the general public would get tested every 2 weeks like this, we would have we wouldn't even have 5% of the current infection rates in the general public. And that's the truth. That's really what we need to understand.
Same thing. Example, just last week, I went to the doctors and I got a massive blood test, a bunch of stuff for all sorts of different reasons. And it's the same thing. I just go, why can't they make, if everybody does this, I mean, people in the adult industry are tested more than anybody on the planet.
Well, you know, when you're a thought leader, you never have it easy. And the general public is not as open to talking about sex and sexual health because they were also not taught.
Yeah.
So in Germany, when I left high school, I knew how HIV worked. I knew the antibodies. Like I knew the whole structure of what a sexually transmitted infection, STI, is. In the United States, people don't know. For the longest time, people are like, oh, you'll have sex when you're married. And then all that happens is you have kids. But that everybody, I mean, I started understanding that I'm gay when I was 7. I was sexually active by the time I was 11.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. It's just how human sexuality works. It's not a rule book. And that's really where it becomes hard to create regulation or legislation that tries to supersede my human right to be the agent over my own body and make choices for my own body.
Yeah.
And it turns into a paternalistic view of, oh, you're not smart enough, honey.
Yeah.
We'll make these decisions for you. But that so many performers out there and producers and industry professionals, they have masters in public health. They are doctors. They are physicists. Like, it's insane. This is now my third year within the industry. And it's so beautiful how many incredible thought leaders we have within our own industry because they just believe in living who they truly are.
Yeah.
And I mean, what is greater than when you can be passionate about what you make money with?
Yeah. I kind of know that.
Now, I wanted to go to this is...
Sorry.
APAC is the...
love them.
Adult Performers...
Advocacy Committee.
There
committee.
We go. I love the fact that APAC came around. They're still in their infancy. They're they've really worked hard. They don't have the backing. FSC has 25 years, I believe, worth
yes,
of...
Yes, we're in our 25th year this year.
Exactly. And so, you know,
APAC... Stay tuned for a big party.
Woohoo!
We're having a big party?
Oh, we are having a big party. End of August.
Very nice. So they're still very much, and they have their, they've gotten involved in the political fight, but they are definitely, they're there to help the talent and to help educate the talent. Now, I totally back them, and I want talent to support that organization, and I want them to donate money to that organization. Where I look at it as the talent that is producing content are the people that we are out to protect. APAC has whatever their, we don't control APAC. We have no involvement with APAC. We, you know, we work together sometimes, but we don't.
We meaning FSC.
FSC, yeah, I apologize,
no.
Yes.
No, we're two different industry
completely
groups that
totally
are independent
things.
From each other.
So when I look at my girlfriend, who is now, she has directed 2 girl movies for a production company. She has she creates her own content. She has a website through somebody else, but she is a creator of content. She should be protected by the Free Speech Coalition and going under, and she is actually a member, a voting member, and she voted for me. I'll just go out and say it. I know she voted for me. But why, I mean, who should be the people that join? Are these the people who should join the...
Here's the reality. I mean, I understand that we want to make distinctions of who should join who, but I look at it this way. If you're passionate about your job, if you're passionate about your livelihood, if you're passionate about this industry, if you're passionate about anything that has to do with this, let's think about, as an industry professional, your membership, just as a normal industry professional, not as a company, your membership is $50 a year. Now, let's take $100 a year. So you give 50 to FSC because we fight the big fights. We do the lobbying. We you know, we get all of that going. And then you give 50 to APAC to support their programs of education, you know, having meetings with producers and with talent agencies to find, you know, what can we negotiate for the well-being of performers. And I think they do such a great job with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so very grateful that they do this. If you think about that, that's less than $10 a month. That's probably less than you spend on a daily level with Starbucks.
Oh my God, we now sound like an NPR drive.
No, I know.
It's our spring drive here for the Free Speech Coalition.
And it's terrible, but
donate now.
But the reality is the FSC cannot defend if you don't stand with us. Mm-hmm. And if $50 is something that can you can do a year, then we can do a lot with that. If we had 1,000 people giving us $50, that would be a huge, tremendous help. And we have a great membership base, but we also have really great upcoming new companies that we, you know, we give them programs of here's your 2257s, here's your age verification, how that works, here are your workplace regulations that you need to be aware of in the state that you're at, da 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 da. So we create and we provide a whole slew of services to the industry on top of the fights that we fight to keep everybody legal. And I think that, you know, I've been a paying member of FSC ever since I heard about it, because I was like, well, you know, $50 is really not that hard. Like, I bought 3 movies on iTunes last night. And that is not as valuable as supporting an organization as this. And a lot of bigger producers are helping too, but there are builds. We do have 3 full-time employees. There is an office, you know, and lobbyists, attorneys, and everything else don't come cheap. The OSHA experts that we're bringing on board to make sure that we stay safe are $5,000 a month.
Yeah. It's large amounts of money, and people believe that the Free Speech Coalition is supported by a few large companies, and we get a bunch of money.
Yeah, we don't print cash.
We don't. No. Trust me, I've seen
I don't think
I've
that's legal either.
I don't think it's legal. Now, I kept bringing up membership because there is something coming up, and I'm going to have you, because I read about it, and I want you to explain it more, that members, we're creating committees that are going to be for members, that they can get more involved with the Free Speech Coalition. Yeah. Go ahead and explain that.
So I think what's really important to understand is that FSC is not and never has been an ivory tower organization that you cannot get a hold of. I very publicly gave my email address out earlier. You find all of our contact details online. So if you ever have questions, of course, we're there for you, whether you are a member or not. Mm-hmm. We're there for you. So one of the things that we recently did is we launched our membership online. So it's really easy to sign up at www.freespeechcoalition.com. NPR Drive! And what we heard very frequently over the last couple of months is that people don't really know how to participate in these conversations. And the reality is also that on specific action calls, we can't have 500 people calling in, because then it gets really hard to manage everybody. So what I said and what the team decided and the board members backed to is that we're now creating specific committees for industry sectors. So we're looking at a committee for payment processors, a committee for adult pleasure product manufacturers, a committee for wholesalers, distributors, web hosting. We're looking at retailers, and we're looking, of course, at adult film. And we're also looking at live content separately from adult film, because there's very different legalities that are associated with it. Cam companies have a huge difficulty finding banks, much more so than adult film production companies. So, and as a trade association, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for everybody out there in our industry to help make better, ease growing pains, negotiate and maybe step in with banks, give a letter of recommendation, et cetera, et cetera. Because we're really here to serve you if you want us to. Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great way for people to get involved.
Yeah.
You do have to be a member.
You do have to be an active member. For the simple fact that, you know, we want to make sure that the pool is involved, stays focused. Mm-hmm. And as said, you can be a member for as little as $50 a year.
Exactly.
So,
you can donate and you can become a member at the website.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
And it's a very nice website. I've been there before.
Yes. I hope you've been there a lot. Also, our press releases are all on there. We've just joined the National Coalition Against Censorship, which is a huge step forward for FSC. We're building really close ties with a large variety of organizations, because they also do understand what we do. And that's because we've done so much great education with them, and they understand that, you know, as long as one form of sexuality is illegalized or discriminated against or criminalized, of consensual adult sex, there will always be these issues, and they understand that, whether it's the LGBTQ community or others.
It's like, together you're stronger than separately.
Yeah. You know, I always speak about it as the wolf and the sheep herd.
Yeah.
You know, the wolf can come and pluck one sheep after another if the sheep don't band together, but if them sheep band together, they turn into one of those car things that walk around and go crush the wolf. I don't know where I just
went. That went way off, because I go back to the episode of Lost, which was live together or die alone.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the whole thing.
Exactly. And I don't know, like, it's so weird that, to me, some of this stuff, which is why this country sucks, but there's so much of this stuff is like people, there's other things to be worried about and put your energy towards.
Why but this country, but remember this, I don't think that this country sucks. I think what we are in is that we're growing away from a puritanical culture that we were grounded right. or that we were created out of. And I say we as an immigrant.
Right.
And we're moving towards, okay, where are we going to go with this? You never have an easy journey when you get no. older, you grow, you get a new career or whatever. You have a learning experience. And I think that what the country is in the middle of is a learning experience. And I think that as an industry, if we stand together, we can guide that learning right. experience by communicating.
Right. And as I always tell people, you know, do your homework. Education
yeah.
is important. You know, people. I hate when people make what I call uneducated opinions and uneducated decisions. Do your homework. Understand that nobody's getting hurt. And then I always ask the question, because I write about this a lot, but it's like I ask the question all the time. Yeah. What are you afraid of? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know what this guy is afraid of. What yeah. are you afraid of?
And I always say there is no such thing as a stupid question. There is only... I believe
I'm famous for them.
I believe what is important is that you're willing to put in the work to understand yeah. the answer.
Yeah.
And if that's the way that you look at it, you know, I welcome every question. I love having conversation. I think the communication changes the world.
Oh, I agree. I can't agree more.
This conversation.
Too many years of therapy.
Honestly, could go on for hours.
Yeah, but you don't have chocolate ice cream, so I got to go.
No. And I know these conversations can go on for hours because I sit in the board meetings. And board meetings are now getting a little bit shorter, but we're talking 7-8 hours.
They're now 3 hours yes. maximum.
We've moved along, and we can communicate faster and better now. So that's always great. So I want people to know that if you made it this far in the episode, thank you so much, and I do appreciate you for doing that. I'm assuming there's about three of you, so high five. Feel free to comment that you made it this far. Definitely go to the website, freespeechcoalition.com. So if you miss out on the press releases on AVN, or you don't go to XBiz, and you don't go to both organizations are on our board.
Yep.
If you don't go to the freespeechcoalition.com, and you can see our press releases, you can see the things that we're working on and get to know. And we'd love you to join. We'd love everybody to join. And it's, you know, it's not just about money. It is about money, but it's not just about money. It's about support. It's about people stepping up and showing the numbers coming out and saying, yes, we want to support you. Because right now, if Free Speech Coalition went away, if we all of a sudden tomorrow close the doors, there would be absolutely zero people fighting for this industry, on behalf of this industry. It would go away.
And we've done it successfully for 25 years, so there's something to be said to that.
Definitely, definitely. So, Eric, I truly, truly appreciate you coming over. We do record on a Sunday, and you came over on what we consider to be your day off, even though we are slave drivers on the board and we make you work all the time. Where can talent producers, pleasure products people, anyone out in the industry get a hold of you?
You can reach me via email at eric@freespeechcoalition.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at FSC Army or at FSC Pass, specifically for our testing protocols. Of course, the press releases, or just, you know, stop by the office, drop us a call, whatever is most convenient to you. I always love a good old handwritten letter. Those are my favorites.
I am so going to stop by the office.
Postcards. I'm all about postcards.
Self-addressed.
Yeah, just don't send me postcards from some luxurious holiday while I sit in the office reading really
terrible legislation. Oh, I'm doing that on purpose now. Now I am doing that on purpose.
Well, thank you so much again, Eric. Mr. Avery, do you have anything to where we can find you?
No.
And are you a member of the Free Speech Coalition?
Ooh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I was for about the first 5 years, but I haven't been for.
Well, perhaps you should consider joining at freespeechcoalition.com. Throw down $50 and we'll gladly take that and appreciate your support of our fine, fine organization.
Okay.
Okay. Well, my name is Mo Reese. I am a member of the Free Speech Coalition. I am a board member. I sit with 12 other people on that board, and we are a dedicated group, and we work really, really hard for you guys. And Eric is there fighting for us and helping us and working like a slave, and it's amazing. And I'm so happy he's with us now. You can find me on Twitter, where I ever so often rant about politics that relate to porn, at MoXXX, or Mox, as some people like to call me. You can listen to the podcast now on SoundCloud, iTunes, and my blog, theaveragemo.com. Thanks for listening.